Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead this morning as we're continuing on, and we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture. And I feel like we're coming to the conclusion of a series that we began, my goodness, almost a couple months ago, just about God's love. And this has been good. Like I said, usually what I'll do at Door of Life is I'll kind of preach a little quarterly kind of a God loves you message and disguise it a little bit, you know, so it looks like it's about something, but it really is that. But it's just like I got almost spiritually arrested a few months ago where the Lord just said, we're just going to camp on this and we're just going to really hit the love of God from all these different angles. And so you can see there on our website, there's a series of, this would be part 10. And I think, you know, in my heart, I feel like this is the last one. But I just wanted to let you know that this is by design of the Holy Spirit, not me. I don't even really do series unless I really know I got to do a series, because I like to just do something different every week and just that fresh flow of whatever it is. And it is still fresh, but it's around this theme. And so I just feel like that, you know, this was a God-intended series. And it's something to preach, but it's also something to come back to. Because what did Paul pray? He said, I pray that you would be rooted and grounded in the love of God. And ultimately, knowing that God loves you in your heart of hearts, knowing that you know that, is what roots you and grounds you in every other human relationship you could have. It roots you and grounds you in life, the circumstances, anything that we go through. But I wanted to close kind of about that series this morning with kind of a final message, which I feel is, it's kind of the culmination of what we've been talking about as it relates to the love of God. Because you can know about it, you can know the facets of it, you can know what it's like and the cool, amazing dimensions and faithfulness of God's love. But ultimately, we come to this point when it comes to the love of God in our lives. And I think Hebrews 4 sums it up so well. It says, seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, when you're a sinner, when you're an unbeliever, you hear the gospel and you come to the cross and you call upon, you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation as you call upon the name of the Lord and are saved and translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's the first way we all come to God. Once you're in the kingdom of God's dear Son, there's another way we come unto God. And that's what it's talking about here. This was not written for the sinner. This was written for the believer. This is written for the child of God. This is for the one who already has that great high priest working on their behalf. And this is where he says, come boldly to that throne of grace, that you may obtain the mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So this is an admonition to come. You know he loves you. You know that throne of grace is there. And so where we're kind of rounding it out this morning is simply what we're calling running to God's love. Okay? We know he loves us. We know he's for us. We know his love is amazing. But there comes that inflection point, and that's kind of the way I've described it some ways. And in my own office, I've got the two chairs. I got my office chair with the computers and the screens that I'm looking into doing work stuff, and then I've got that other chair. It's just a couple, maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet away. It's my devotion chair with the lamp and the Bible and just that place of repose and that place of that coming unto him, that throne of grace place, if you will, where I'm really focusing all on him. And so many times you would think that just moving from that chair to that chair would be easy. But it's not a physical move. There is more than just the physical to get from those 24 inches. There's so much that goes on in here to move you from this chair to this chair. We can see we're invited. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And so how do we get that? How do we run to the Father, cut through the stuff at any time, and come to the Father? That's really the heart of what I want to get at this morning, running to God's love, okay? So as we're talking about running to God's love, there's just a few aspects that I want to look at this morning. The time is now, okay? When it comes to I need the love of God, a lot of times our minds can say, okay, this. Well, the first thing that we get settled right away is that way from this chair to this chair, all right, has been paved by something bigger than our to-do list, bigger than our due diligence. The scripture says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Message. So, friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. So we can see that he has made that way. You know, he said before, we saw that other scripture in Hebrews 4, come boldly to the throne of grace. Here we get a little bit more description. We can come boldly because of the blood of Jesus, that new and living way. In other words, my ability to come boldly to the throne of grace has nothing to do with me. Good day, bad day, no. I's dotted, T's crossed, had my devotion time, didn't have my devotion time. I didn't, you know. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we say the time is now. There's nothing I'm doing to pave the way. And again, I'm kind of using the analogy of the two chairs because we kind of understand the work chair and the devotion chair. When I'm in that chair and I need to get to the throne of grace, I need to get into the presence of God, we got to realize that that way has been paved. Did you know that there was not always a time that it was paved? You know, you think of the cross. You know, if you think of this side of the cross being the law, and you think of this side of the cross being grace, you know, we are living under a new covenant with better promises. They didn't have the better promises over there that we have over here. There is a lot of rituals before, and you yourself couldn't go into the holy place. There was a lot of ceremonial I's that had to be dotted and T's that had to be crossed. It was a rigorous religious system, a law-based system that God instituted as a type and a pattern which would bring out Christ. But on this side of the cross, you had a lot of I's dotted and T's crossed. That's what I'm saying. Over here, when you're sensing the need to get in the presence of God, there's no ritualistic forms, there's no things that you got to check before you can do it. We're just called to come boldly to the throne of grace. And we can because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the new and living way. And again, this is where that move from the work chair to the devotion chair isn't a physical act that's so hard. It's the mental. It's the emotional. I don't feel spiritual right now. I want to feel spiritual before I go in the devotion chair. I want to feel something before. So again, it's not so much the physical act, it's the emotional, it's the getting in the zone, it's getting the prime. I don't want to feel hypocritical over there, you know, because here I'm in this place here. So I gotta be real spiritual before I can get there. And what we're talking about is running to the love of God. And the time is now. And I remember, you know, the Lord telling me one time, because I was kind of having that inflection point. I'm not really feeling really spiritual right now. And the Lord just said this to me once. I just never forgot this. He said, Ed, stop trying to be spiritual and go where spiritual is. In other words, if you're trying to emotionally wait till you feel spiritual, you're going to be waiting a while, a lot of times. When you just by faith, like what we did this morning, we just declared the name of Jesus. Regardless of how we came in this morning, we went where spiritual is. We declare the name of Jesus. We sense the presence of God, and now we kind of feel spiritual. We kind of sense his presence. But it started with that act of faith. that act of lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. But we see that there is, you know, sometimes these emotions, these expectations that we feel like we have to fight to be true, to be real about it, and that's just not, that's not the case at all. And sometimes, too, you know, we also have an enemy. The Bible says that your adversary, James says in James 5, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. All right? Now, we know that that's not an actual physical lion, but we know that there are roars. There's loud noise and suggestions and things in our head that's like, oh, this is the most important thing. This is the most important. You know, we can be distracted by sometimes just the noise of the enemy, put it that way. And what is the enemy? He's the accuser of the brethren. And he doesn't just accuse you. It says he accuses night and day, day and night. It's constant. And he can be roaring stuff and say, I don't feel spiritual. You know, I feel, it's like, no, I don't have to wait till I feel spiritual. I don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before I can run to the love of God, before I can come boldly to the throne of grace. Because I don't come there because I've got closure to my confusion. I come there by the new and living way, by the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, my ability to move from this chair is purely the grace of God. In the same way I am saved by grace through faith, I move from this chair to this chair by grace through faith. In other words, I'm not just saved by grace through faith, but I got to work my way from this chair to this chair. No, it's a new and living way. The same blood that saved me provided a way into the throne of grace. And this is just faith. This is, we're seeing the time is now. There's nothing to work through. I remember for some of you original Trekkie fans from the 60s, one of the pilot episodes of Star Trek, I think it was the pilot episode, you know, they got all these different weird aliens with their different things they got to overcome. But they were these little wimpy little guys, just like these wimpy old men. And yet they controlled everything because they had the ability of illusion. In other words, they're just, I mean, you could push them over, but they had the ability to create like fire and monsters and real lions and things like that in your head. It's like, whoa. And they would just kind of look and they would control people through illusion. You know, that was their thing. And then finally, you know, Captain Kirk or whatever finally realizes it's illusion. He could go through the illusion. It wasn't real. It was a roaring lion. That's what how the Bible describes it. He goes about as a roaring lion, illusion, seeking whom he may devour. Those who can't see through his illusions but are responding to the fear. At some point, that move from chair to chair, there may be illusions between the two chairs of just failure and fear and what's going to happen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's somebody else, your stuff, whatever stuff. There is a new and living way through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that time is now that we make that move. I can go to that chair just by faith. I don't have to have it all figured out. You know, you can't bring closure to an illusion. You just got to go through it. And through the substance of faith, the substance of the blood of Jesus Christ, that substance of a new and living way. And so as we're here, we're kind of sitting trying to make that move. There's another thing that we got to realize is the time is now. Jesus says, and again, this was written to believers, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. I've been there too. I'm sure you have, where you're in that work, that busy chair, and you're needing the love of God and you're sensing the Holy Spirit. It's like, okay, yep, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get this done and this done and this done, and then I'm going to get there. But there can be a knock. And at some point, it's like you got to answer that door. And for, you know, whatever that is, sometimes there's things that are going on and it's like, I'm tilting up here. I got to pray about this. I just got to drive a stake. I got to come before the throne of grace. I got to talk to God about this. I got to cast this care on the Lord. I got to come before that throne of grace. And you're hearing that knock on the door, that knock on the door. And again, this is where we got to realize that when we sense the Spirit drawing us, and you know, if you take this analogy at face value, I mean, if Jesus is standing at the door and knocking, our natural inclination is, wow, that's Jesus. I got to get this place cleaned up. and then I'll go into the door and let him in, you know? And that's kind of, we want to try to get some rooms clean so we can impress him when he comes in, right? He already knows what it looks like. All things are already naked and open before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So he knows what our house looks like, even while he's knocking on the door. And so it's important to realize that we don't have to get anything cleaned up. We don't have to get anything. The time is now. I can answer the door now. There is such a fight for our attention in the spiritual realm. And this is where God is saying, just give me that attention. Give me that time. Have you ever done that? Where you've just kind of by faith went from this chair to this chair. Again, I'm speaking figuratively, however that means to you. And you spent some time in there, and it's just like, wow, I'm so glad I came over here. It's like a whole, there's such a sense of the Spirit and the grace and the presence of God that just makes this chair look completely different when you go back to it. And then finally, Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as we're talking about, again, running to God's love, we've got to realize that there is no separation between those two chairs. You might be thinking, yeah, but I've got this going on and I've done this. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's people's problems or your failures or things you're dealing with. That's a big list. And basically, what is it saying? None of that stuff can get in between those two chairs. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Why is it that I can't get into that chair now? What's holding me back? The word says there's nothing that's holding you back. There is nothing that can get in between you and God's love. There's nothing that you got to work through before you can get into that chair. He's knocking. He's made that new and living way. So as we're talking again about running to the love of God, we got to realize now's the time. There's nothing I got to work through or bring closure to before I can just by faith go to that chair. Okay? So that's one thing. These are simply what we're trying to do this morning is removing any barriers between just running into the love of God this morning. Now is the time. There's nothing that I'm waiting on. There is no layers, again, that I got to work through. Whatever layers I think I might have to work through, God puts all those layers up there and says, nope, you don't have to work through it. None of those things. Tribulation, distress, persecution, peril. Sword, these are real general terms. Whatever your life circumstance is, you don't have to get it resolved before you can get to that chair, before you can come to that throne of grace. So now is the time. The next thing as it relates to running into the love of God is just realize that you're running into a safe place. Jesus is a safe place when you're there, when you're getting from that chair to the other chair. When you're making your move into the love of God by faith, this is the way Jesus says it. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. It's interesting. He's not calling just anybody here. He's calling out a certain group of people in this invitation. If you're laboring and are heavy laden, he's saying, I got a word for you. Come to me and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, as we're resolving that now is the time, there's nothing hindering me from going from the work chair to the devotion chair, that devotion chair is going to be a safe place. It's important, very important to understand that. Now, does God correct us? Absolutely. Does God reveal things to us? He absolutely does it. But he does it in a way that is gentle, lowly in heart. If there's anyone who knows how to speak the truth in love, it is our Heavenly Father. He's a safe place. This is where he's calling out those who labor and are heavy laden. Now, when you're talking about spiritually laboring and heavy laden, usually this is life stuff. You're laboring over something that's going on in your life. Again, the classic stuff, whether it's relational or financial or personal stuff you're dealing with, whatever that issue is, there's a mental laboring and a heavy ladenness that's taking a toll emotionally. It's got you down. It's checkmate. He's saying, I'm calling on you. He's saying, make that move, and I'm going to give you rest. I'm not going to give you a condemnation. I'm going to give you rest. He can correct you without condemning you. You might run into some religious people that have a hard time doing that. But our Heavenly Father perfectly knows how to correct us in love or just give us revelation. In other words, you're coming to a safe place. You know, sometimes you hear that definition, insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Well, a lot of times when you're laboring or heavy laden, you kind of bunk, your life is bunking up against stuff. You know you need a change. You know something needs to change. And that willingness to humble yourself and change and to hear what God is saying. Jesus said, come unto me. He said, I'm going to give you, he didn't even say, I'm going to give you an answer. He said, I'm going to give you rest. That mental and emotional turmoil, I'm just going to give you rest. I'm going to change the subject for a while on you. And I'm going to have you thinking about in a different direction. I'll be gentle. I'll be lowly in heart as I'm speaking to you. But it's going to be different. You're going to get your heart and you're going to get your mind on me. And I'm going to begin to speak to you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So it is important to understand that as we're doing that's the way he is. He is a safe place. I don't have to be afraid of what I'm going to hear when I hit that chair. I like to think the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son comes back home, and does the father berate him? No. He's so glad that he finally came to that other chair so he could talk, so he could fellowship, so he could hang out. I've said many times, I'm so glad the prodigal son didn't run into the older brother before he ran into the father. He might have never got to the father. And sometimes that can happen to us too. But even if there's an older brother between you and those two chairs, you still have a right to go to that chair, all right? That's a safe place, and you can go there. I love the way the psalmist puts it. This is the passion. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. This is a beautiful picture. You know, we know the classic, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. What is this word picture trying to get across? Safety, rest, peace. It takes a lot for a little sheep to lie down. They're very nervous creatures. So you get a little sheep to lie down, that's a safe place. And that's the picture that's being painted here. In other words, that's a safe place. When I'm over here, I got questions. I got issues. I got problems and different things like that. And it's so many at times, it's like, I don't know what the answer is. When you believe this, it's like, I don't know what the answer to this is, but I know where the answer is. I'm going to lie down in green pastures. I'm going to get over here first. And then as I'm in this place, this is where he restores and revives my soul. This is where I'm going to get the answers to some of those questions that I have. But there is a direct going there too. It is a safe place. You know, when you have a lot of these times that we now, you know, television has changed so much over the years in terms of the old classic box that we used to have in our living rooms and manually turn the channels and then graduate up to that remote control. We thought we were big stuff in the late 70s, early 80s. And then nowadays it's just satellite and internet and all that stuff. But I remember back we had a DirecTV. And one of the things, when you had a control, even the standard package had like 100 channels, okay? And if you wanted to get somewhere, all right, you had a choice. You could either directly type in that channel, that three-digit channel number, or you could start down and surf channels, you know? A lot of our spiritual channels, I think, were in the 300s. But if you started at channel 100 and just started surfing channel after channel after channel, you might never get to that spiritual channel 300. You might get distracted. When we're talking about this stuff, God is a safe place. You got to understand, too, that the enemy isn't the only one who has this call. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The enemy has that same call. He's got all kind of relief for us, all kinds of distractions for that heavy ladenness. And when we're talking about Jesus is a safe place, we're talking about he's safe for your soul. He's not just a distraction from the junk, but he's healthy, safe for your soul. So when I'm talking about coming unto him, I'm talking about that direct dial, okay? There's so many thoughts in our head, and we can so easily get the thought, I need to go there, and all of a sudden, but then there's the next thought, and the next thought, and the next thought. And pretty soon you can channel surf thoughts in your head and never quite get there. At some point, you're going to direct dial it and say, nope, I'm not going to see what's on all the other channels before I can get there. I know by the Spirit I'm supposed to go there. So I'm just going to go there. I'm just going to direct. I'm going to green pastures. I'm going to still waters. Again, I may not know what the answer is to the heavy ladenness, but I know where the answer is. It's over here somewhere. And as he's restoring my soul, he's going to show me that. And then finally, there's such a great little admonition about, you know, Jesus said, I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart. This is the wisdom that's from above, as James describes it. He says, the wisdom that is from above is, first of all, pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and full of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. This is such a beautiful picture of the wisdom of God. Can God correct you? Can God show you stuff? Does God chastise those he loves? He does. He does, and he can, and he will correct you, but that wisdom will be pure. It'll be peaceable. It'll be gentle. And this is what I find out, too. When he corrects me in a way that it's like, oh, yeah, I can see that. I see what he's wanting. I understand. Yes, that's wrong. I'm off. When you're off, you're opening yourself up to the enemy's territory. When your spirit is off, remember when the disciples wanted to call down fire on the Samaritans. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, you don't know what spirit you're of. They thought they were right. They thought they were sincere, but they were of the wrong spirit. And there can be some times over here where God will call out some things in a way that you can see the spirit that you're of, and you can see it's wrong. The trajectory of it's wrong. This is not right. I'm getting played. I don't want to get played. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And there's things you see over here as he's restoring your soul and things that you're getting by his Spirit. We're talking about running to God's love. It is a safe place. It's not a place of condemnation. It is a place where your soul is restored. It's a place where we can listen for the wisdom of God. And as we're coming over here, you know, we're coming over here listening to what the Spirit of God is saying. And then finally, God's love is the answer, like we said before. We might not know where the answer is. We may not know what the answer is to our situation, but we know where the answer is. It is there at that throne of grace. And we're talking about answers here because a lot of times the things that resists us from getting from this chair to this chair, God has amazing things to help and bless our lives. Hebrews chapter 2:17 says, therefore, in all things, Jesus, had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. For because he himself in his humanity has suffered and being tempted, tested and tried, he is able immediately to run to the cry of assist and relieve those who are being tempted, tested, and tried, who are therefore being exposed to suffering. In other words, there's a battle going on here. We're experiencing the enemy. We're experiencing the suffering of temptation. We're experiencing the mental compelling demonic wisdom and the emotional things and all that kind of stuff. And what the scripture says is that because he has suffered, being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. And that's where the answer is in his love. When we come to that place of his love and his grace, he can aid us as we're being tempted. We had a series a while back, earlier this year, just talking about walking in the Spirit. You know, the Spirit, in Galatians 5 it says, you know, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary the one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you would do, that your good intentions would like to do. But what is it saying? The Spirit, the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. That word lust, we think of it in a natural sexual connotation many times, but in its original form, that's only one application. The word lust simply means strong desire. That's all it means. In fact, Jesus used that same Greek word when he said, at the Passover, before he was crucified, he said, I have strongly desired to eat this meal with you guys today. Same Greek word we'd get for lust. There it's just translated strong desire. But here it's saying, the flesh has strong desire against the Spirit. The Spirit has strong desire against the flesh. And that's why when you're in this chair sometimes, and you're in the flesh, and you're not really in the Spirit, you can have strong desire against the things of the Spirit and think, man, what's wrong with me? Well, you just need to get in that other chair. You need to get in that other chair. In other words, like the Lord is saying, it's not a matter of trying to be spiritual. Go where spiritual is. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. We looked at this last week. God's love is on the inside of you. When you begin to, by faith, go to this chair, and oh, wow, God is there. You sense his presence. You sense his peace. Sense that love. You stir up the Spirit of God. And it's amazing how things just change. All of a sudden, that frame of mind you had over there, you don't have it anymore. Just because the Spirit of God, you're yielding to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God has strong desire against that. He said it's like a tug of war. You know, the Apostle Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing those things. He's kind of going back and forth. It's kind of like you got a tug of war, and the flesh and the world and the devil are on the other side, and you're on this side trying to win, and you can't win by yourself. That's where he goes on to say, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit, you know, you can have your desire against those things, but the Spirit has strong desire against those things. So when you get in that chair, you got the power of the Spirit, and it's like, wow, this is who I know I am. This is who I am. You know, you discover the answer is in this chair. The answer is in the love of God. The love of God is what opens your heart up to all the other cool spiritual stuff, who you are in Christ, your authority, the power of the Word. I mean, all the amazing things that you learn as a believer, and this is who I am and taking my place. But it starts with the love of God. It starts with knowing that you got a great high priest who loves you, who gets you at all points. I mean, think about that. You're in this chair. And basically what the scripture is saying, Jesus knows what it's like to be in this chair. Jesus hasn't just experienced that chair. Jesus has experienced this chair. Now we know he was without sin. He said what he heard the Father say. He did what he saw the Father do. But you know he had thoughts in his mind that were not of the Father. We see it clearly in the Word, Matthew 4:4. Satan came to him and said, turn these stones into bread. He said, man shall not live by bread. He had those thoughts in his head, right? He had that suggestion. It's what was the scripture called temptation. Let me put it this way. If he never experienced in his thoughts and emotions what we experience in this chair, then he has not been tempted in every point as we are. He has been tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. He's experienced the pull. He's experienced that suggestion. He's experienced the desire to probably want to call down fire. Emotionally and mentally, he experienced what we experienced, but he always said and did perfectly, obediently what the Father told him to say and to do. But in all points, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. Why? So that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest. In other words, he gets us. He's saying, I get it. You got to get over into that other chair. I know what you're feeling. You got to get into that other chair. He's experienced it. That's why he's a merciful and faithful high priest. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. If he can sympathize with our weaknesses, he experienced them, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. What do we obtain? We're obtaining mercy and we're finding grace to help in time of need. There are times I come over to this chair and I need mercy here. I can't get mercy from that chair. I got to get it from this one. I got to get it from the throne of grace. I can't get it leaning to my own understanding. I can just humble myself as a child all over again and receive that mercy and forgiveness. What did Jesus say? Nobody can be saved unless you first are converted and become as a little child. And then you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. You humble yourself as a child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's also a humility on this side as we're coming before the throne of grace. It's not me. It's not that new and living way isn't because of the great things I've done for God in my life. No, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the mercy and the grace of God. I'm glad for what I do and the fruit that I can bear for the kingdom of God, but that's not my way. That's not my way, and my way is here. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is a high priest who can sympathize. So when you're in this chair sometimes and you're thinking, remember, Jesus felt the pressure of this chair. He felt that, but he always knew that he could pull into the Father, say what he heard the Father say, do what he saw the Father do. And finally, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Boy, we need to be reminded of this. I don't care what you're going through. It is common to man. Might be different faces, might be different names, different people, different situations, but whatever you're dealing with, it's common to man. And God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Praise God. That way of escape is right there. That way of escape is the throne of grace. That way of escape is his precious word and his grace. But you see that. There's no temptation that's beyond what you are able. In other words, I'm not sitting in this chair and it's impossible for me to get to the other chair. Nope, I can't do it. This temptation's too strong. It's impossible. You can get there. You're going to get there by faith. You can't feel your way there. You can't spiritual pride your way there. You will humble yourself and say, the only way I can get there is by the blood of Jesus Christ. All this yuck, all this. But you know, when you have flesh and you talk about flesh and spirit, there's an identity you can get. You can get an identity when you get in the flesh. There's an identity you feel. When you get in the spirit, there's an identity you feel and know too. And when you get that flesh identity working, you know by faith, according to your calculations to the throne of grace, say, yeah, that's who I am by faith. I'm going there. I'm believing he is. And I'm going there by faith. I'm cutting through it. I'm not having to wait to feel spiritual again. No, there's a new and living way that's bigger than my feeling spiritual. It's grace. It's the love of God. I am never stuck in this chair. There is never a mindset that I got to stay in this chair. It's impossible for me to get to. No, I can always get there. I can always run to the love of God. I can always run to his grace. I was just going to close just with a quick, just some lyrics from a recent song that's come out. I believe this is Matt Maher. He just said, I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now. I'm laying it down. I know that I need you. I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start, your son for redemption, the price for my heart. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand. I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again. And that's really kind of the heart, the essence that I just want to get across this morning. No matter where we're at, we've been expounding the love of God for the last couple months, but that love of God is there for you. The time is right now. There's no more I's dot, T's to cross. There's no ceremonial things that have to be done. We're under a new covenant based on better promises, and one of those better promises is that we can come boldly by the blood of Jesus Christ. I can go from this chair to this chair simply by faith, knowing that where I'm going It's a safe place. If there's something that gets corrected or changed, it's going to be a wisdom that's pure and peaceable. I don't have to fear the father's correction. The prodigal, you know, had his apologetics to his father all laid out. And the father loved him, blessed him. I'm telling you what, there's a love. This whole thing is about love. While we were sinners, he loved us. So when we come back to that place with our heart open, God is going to be wonderfully caring and tender with our heart. Our answer is there. You know, sometimes you bang your head up against the wall and you realize the answer isn't up here. I've tried. The answer is there. I need to go where the answer is so I can find out what the answer is. But that starts with a heart knowing that God is a safe place and we can run into that love. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you. In the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for just a simple admonition this morning. Stuff we already know, that you love us, you're for us, all that. But Lord, help us, each of us, to just respond to that love, to respond to the knock, and to just by faith realize there's nothing that can separate us from that chair. There is no demonic force. There's no natural circumstance, but you've made the way, a new and living way. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know you love me. I want to live in that love. Now is the time to run into your love. It is a safe place. I come there by faith, boldly before your presence, because of the precious blood of Jesus. I see the new and living way, and I thank you for it. And I open my heart now, Lord, to hear the things you would speak. I look to you for my strength, for my mercy, and for the direction I need. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving me, for being there for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, like we say, sometimes a door of life, you know, there's the sermon I'm preaching, but then there's the second sermon of the Holy Spirit, that sermon that he's preaching to you, that's just between you and him. And sometimes a message like this is about that, because the Holy Spirit can personalize a message like this with your stuff in a way that your stuff isn't intimidating anymore. That's really the heart of this message. But I got this and this. Yeah, but you got the love of God. Yeah, but you got a God who loves you. Yeah, but you got the throne of grace. Yeah, but there's something about the love of God that casts out all the fear of the stuff that we got and gets us back talking to God again so we can be secure and safe in him. Amen. Praise God.